Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code Cumulus. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Stafford end zone, leaping catch, Cooper Kupp.
I'm just thrilled to see Stafford and the Rams stay together.
And I loved how they handled it.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rodgers lobs one back right corner of the end zone.
What would be your advice for Aaron Rodgers, Steve?
It's really tough, Rich, because you don't want to bounce around the league.
Today's guests. Prime Video TNF analyst Andrew Whitworth, NFLPA Chief Strategy Officer JC Treader, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Andrew Whitworth is going to be joining us shortly here from Prime Video. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris Brockman, you said going to break. The Rams have made a trade. There's a trade from the Rams. Is it big enough to require the drop?
I don't think so.
Really?
No, I don't think so. No.
So what do your eyes see then?
My eyes see the Rams are sending veteran offensive lineman Jonah Jackson to the Bears in exchange for a 6th-round pick this year.
My eyes see.
Yeah, thank you for that. Because I don't want to. I don't want to offend the Bears and the Jonah Jackson family.
Yeah.
Was it J. Jonah Jackson the name of the editor?
J. Jonah Jameson.
Sorry.
Yeah, he owned the newspaper in Spider-Man.
Owned it or was the editor?
He owned it.
Oh, did he own it?
Yeah, he was running. He ran the show there.
Oh, so he was the Bezos of the newspaper.
Yeah. Got it. Daily, it's Bugle, right? Planet is Superman.
I mean, we're really down a wormhole here. Yeah. All right, joining us now, our dear friend from Prime Video, the great Andrew Whitworth. Good to see you, Andrew. How are you, sir?
What's going on, brother?
What's up, Whit? How you doing?
I'm good, baby. It's the off season. I'm great.
It's no such thing. How dare you? Never. Never. The Rams just made a trade. Hold on a second.
Good point.
Hold on a minute.
It never stops.
And it's nonstop. It's nonstop. Sean's talking. Do we have that soundbite? Because I think Sean said something along the lines of the door's not closed on Cooper Kupp. Do we have that? Hit it.
You know, I think I would never speak in absolutes, but I do think, you know, let's gather all the information. We'll take it a day at a time, and we'll kind of see what the next steps entail.
All right, you're fluent in McVay, right, Andrew? You can be our McVay interpreter. What do I make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he knows better that in this league, anything can happen. And so I think at the end of the day, they will end up separating and Cooper will end up somewhere else. But man, listen, if there's anything we've learned in the recent years with the Rams is they are willing to do anything and everything as it comes up. And so you never really can rule out anything with them.
Well, I mean, it did, from what I heard, it got dicey at some point last week about Stafford and the Rams. Yeah. And obviously them coming together makes sense for everybody involved, in my estimation. But it got close, right, Andrew? Last week?
Yeah, I mean, when you have to go back, though, to last year, if you think about it, Rich. I mean, this was a situation all offseason long. There was kind of a discussion of Stafford's contract and what was going to make Matthew happy and feel like he was appreciated as a Los Angeles Ram and what worked out for them. And so I think if you remember, you know, even it came up to the first day of training camp, you know, there was a little bit of like, is Matthew here and why there's a meeting going on and they're trying to figure it out. And so I think when you go through a year like that and you come to an agreement, there's no question the Los Angeles Rams want Matthew Stafford as their quarterback. That was never the issue. It's just trying to find out what makes him happy, feel like he's being appreciated. He's making the money he wants to make, but they can also go chase the opportunity to play in a Super Bowl. And so when you look at how this year ended in Philly, you know, really coming down to the last snap of the game and with a chance to win that game and host the NFC Championship, they want to be together, but it's still, hey, after last year, you weren't happy. Let's figure out what your value is. And I think that's why when people kind of question, well, why are they letting him talk to other teams and those kind of things is, you know, you can assume a lot in this league, Rich, but sometimes until you go reach out to these teams and find out what are they willing to give up, what would the draft compensation be, what would the contract be, and do those things marry to something that's really what's more important to you, is to go make that money, or you want to stay here, be a Los Angeles Ram, and continue to chase that championship with Sean McVay. And at the end of the day, I think that once they did all those things and realized, you know what, the best option is, we want to stay together, we want Matthew Stafford as our quarterback, there's zero question about that. And now they're happy, they're together, and I'm sure Sean's sleeping a whole lot better, and I bet you Matthew is as well.
Yeah, because, you know, listen, I understand the Giants and the Raiders might have given Stafford more on the table than the Rams, but outside of that, financially, there's nothing else, you know, in which they could beat the Rams for Matthew for this year and potentially beyond, if for any guy who's envisioning an end of career scenario. I mean, last year, Andrew, they came, take a look at the playoffs. They came as the closest of any team to keep the Eagles from a parade than anybody else at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we always can go back and say what ifs, but, you know, they're one play there at the end of the game where, you know, we probably have a better plan and protection there, a little bit of a mistake there at the end of the game, and you let Jalen Carter disrupt the play, but Tyler Higbee's wide open, and who's to say he's not going to have a chance to score since his defender fell down? So, yeah, they're that close. So I don't think this was about, hey, competitively, is there any world where we're better without Matthew Stafford? I don't think that was ever brought up in this question. I think that the real decision was, is he happy to be here? Is this contract that we can offer him and what we feel like we can do and still go compete at a really high level again next year? Because the reality is this, in the playoffs, Rich, you can be playing really good football and you can have success, but for the year long to get there, they needed to be better. I mean, that was a year where the start was bad. It was another year, consecutive year, where the start off of the season's bad. They got to go on a big run to make the playoffs. I think for them, it's, hey, we got a young nucleus of talent that we've drafted really well the last couple years. Matthew, what's that number that you're comfortable, you're happy, you want to be a Ram, a Super Bowl is what's on your mind, and then how do we put pieces around you? Because I think you would argue in that game in Philly, if they play a little better around Matthew Stafford, they win that game. Matthew played at what he does. And when his best is required, he is always there. In these big moments, it's like he loves it. And so I think in their mind, it's like, hey, what's the contract makes you happy? And then we can go put the pieces around you. And now we feel like we're contenders again.
Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. We have not spoken since the Super Bowl. What is your assessment about the Chiefs' line and their ability to keep this thing, you know, right back on track after what we saw, what the Eagles did to them, Andrew?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they really decide to do with the offensive line. I mean, obviously at the tackle position, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, they've had some up and down play there. You know, their young pick didn't really work out at the beginning of the season. Then it was kind of find out who can play left tackle. And I was concerned with Joe Tooney continuing to have to be the left tackle just because of a game like that. I mean, you really think of what the Chiefs have been around Mahomes, is that interior three has been one of the best interior threes in the league when you really put all them together and Tooney's playing his normal left guard spot. So for them to continue to have to move him out there, you're just a little weaker. And when you play a great defensive line like this, it's going to show up more often. And so I think for them, it's getting Tooney back to left guard. And then what's our answer? Can our young draft pick come up and play this position? Is he going to be able to, is Kingsley going to be able to be that guy at left tackle? Or is there a situation where we've got to say Juwan Taylor's got to move to left and we got to figure out the answer at right? There's got to be an investment there, because if you really look at their seasons, Rich, it's like they get themselves a Super Bowl in the only ones that you can think of that, hey, all right, why did they lose the Super Bowl? Against Tampa, it was they had two tackles that got injured. They were great football players right before the Super Bowl. They're without their left and right tackle in the game. And in this game, the offensive line's getting whipped, and they don't have much of a chance to protect Mahomes. So when they protect Mahomes, They are a really tough team to beat. And so that's got to be their top priority right now.
Well, and the team that took the first step forward closer to the Eagles was the team that the Eagles destroyed prior to destroying the Chiefs in Washington by acquiring Deebo Samuel. How much closer in your mind did the Commanders get with that move?
Well, I'll tell you this, Rich. I don't know if anybody's happier than Sean McVay and the Rams for this move as well, because Deebo Samuel's the absolute Rams killer. That is for sure. He seemed to be the guy that they could never stop in these big games against the Niners. So I think when you talk about getting Stafford back, you know, getting Alaric Jackson under contract, their young left tackle, and now Deebo Samuel's out of the division, I don't know if the Rams could be any happier about that move. But for the Commanders, I think he fits great. I mean, what he does and the way that offense is really spread out, and they love to get the ball out of Jaden's hands. Like, I think Deebo is going to be a great answer for them. His ability with screens and, you know, after they catch to get those extra yards. If you really think of how they know huddle and up tempo, he should be a great answer for them. And I think something that's really going to help them when you think about how the Commanders move forward, because one of the things they did really well is their investment in kind of veteran pieces last offseason. They didn't make these crazy splash moves, but they got a lot of guys that came in and were really productive into their career type guys who just came out and their production, their play, their ability to stay healthy, that's what made a difference for them. And they've got to look to renew that this season. I think Deebo is going to be a part of that answer.
Yeah, and then let's return to the Rams thing. Do you think the Niners' window is closing? What do you think? Seriously, Andrew?
Listen, I'm never going against Kyle Shanahan, and as long as Trent Williams is there, you know, playing, I also think that they've got something they're going to build that entire offensive around and the play he has. He's got to be healthy. And then really, I think Purdy continued to show strides last season. I think when people say, all right, did he have all his weapons all year? You know, how many NFL offenses are real productive when all their talent's not healthy? But I thought he showed strides of really playing true, just quarterback position, not as much as, hey, we can run the ball against everybody and we can hit these play actions and all these things off of it. He had to play a lot of real quarterbacks, sitting back there making decisions. I think he showed a lot of growth there. They're going to take care of him, but the model's going to change, Rich. This model has been all this talent they had, continuing to kind of plug and play a quarterback who can play in Shanahan's system. But as soon as they pay Purdy, this whole thing flips. And it starts to become, who are we actually able to afford to keep around here? You got George Kittle's contracts coming up in a year or so, a couple of other guys that they're going to have to try and figure out. Trent's not going to be able to play forever. So they've got to have a really good vision for what the next version of what the San Francisco 49ers look like. If you talk about the Rams, that's one of the things they've seemed to do really well. People thought after they went all for it and won it in 21, reloaded in 22 and failed, it's like, all right, now there's no chance they're going to be good for a really long time. But they reloaded and came up with a new version of how they're going to be successful. And you got to see the Niners figure that out.
And again, I know you don't speak for Matthew. We're going to get him on hopefully at some point, and I'll ask him, how much long do you think this is another year-to-year thing with the Rams? Or you think Matthew is going to stay, that they're going to figure out a way to just, like, end of career scenario for Stafford is going to be right here in Southern California? Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, I would imagine this probably solidifies that it's going to be here or nowhere else. I mean, I know that Matthew and Kelly love living here. You know, they've obviously embraced the community and a lot of things they do, and they enjoy it. I enjoy playing some golf with him, so I hope he's not going anywhere. I don't want to lose my golf buddy. But, you know, also, I think when you really look at it last year, how things kind of went down, you come back here, and I think his kind of message to them, and that's one of the reasons this scenario was kind of difficult to figure out, has kind of been, it's a year-to-year thing. I mean, the guy's obviously made a ton of money. He's won his Super Bowl. He's had a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion. And, you know, I think that for him, it's just figuring out, man, how much do I really want to go chase that next championship? Because that's really the only thing left to add to his legacy, is if he could possibly go get that second one. And so I think for him, it's going to be a year-to-year thing. And I think that's why the Rams are comfortable living in that world, is if this guy, who's one of the best talents at that position in the world, wants to keep coming back, we want to keep trying to figure out how to do that for one more year. But it's got to be in a way that we can continue to build the team around him for when he makes that exit. We're prepared and we're built talent-wise that a young quarterback or the next guy could come in and we still have a chance to be competitive.
All right. So a couple more minutes left with Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. The tush push, the Packers put together a proposal apparently to be voted on later this month, apparently, to ban it. You hear that and you think what, Andrew?
You know, I don't see the reason to ban it. I think it's an awesome play, and obviously the Eagles, you know, are the example for it in every way possible. But I do see that where there's a conflict of interest just in this mentality of when I was in the league, Rich, and we were on field goals, and Ray Lewis would get behind Haloti Ngata, or, you know, Terrell Suggs would push Haloti Ngata through on a field goal. It was one of the worst downs of your entire life. being able to take on those big monsters. And so I can see where there's a little bit of, that's a little hypocritical. Like, why have we taken this away from the defense, but on offense you're allowed to push? So to me, like, you could do all these sneaks, you could do all the stuff you want. If you just eliminated the pusher, I think that's the only thing that people have any argument about. And I don't know that would be some, oh man, now you've taken away their play. They can still line up in the same formations, do everything they do. They're just not allowed to push on the quarterback. With a running back or something. So I think that wouldn't change it that much. So I don't think that I would really be emotional either way of it. I could understand that if the defense can't do it, the offense shouldn't be able to do it as well. And I could also see where some teams say, hey, is it really that worth it to try to eliminate this play? You know, they don't care that much and move on.
Well, I mean, Schlereth said that last week when he was on with Susie, when I was at the Combine, that if the defense can't do it, then why should the offense
It was a nightmare, Rich.
You know,
oh man, it was the worst down of your life. I mean, Every time you got those guys line up behind each other, you know, you just know the back of my head's going to hit the grass. It's just how long is it going to take for it to get there? And so you just hold on for dear life. And those were not fun downs. So I can imagine defenders feel that way as well.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Jones was lined up perpendicular.
He's trying to get sideways underneath. Or actually, I mean, he's trying to figure out what position he can get in.
He was perpendicular to Hurts. I mean, he was parallel to the line of scrimmage trying to figure this thing out. And so if I can understand. If the defense isn't allowed to do it, then why should the offense? But otherwise, it does sound like we can't stop it. So the only way to stop it is to legislate against it. That's the only way I took it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. So if the defenders said, all right, if that's not only on a field goal thing, if we line up the next time and we all stand, you know, behind each other and try to push each other, you know, the league's going to come in and say, oh, you're not allowed to do that because that's a defensive, you know, a down that a defender can't do it. So why can the offense do it? And I think that I can understand that argument about it. And that's the part I do agree with, that if a defense can't use that as their game plan to stop it, then why can the offense? And so I think that that's really the issue that kind of comes up, is that it feels like something that's a little hypocritical, that you're not allowing the defense to do something the offense can do.
All right, so let me finish up here with Andrew Whitworth of Amazon Prime Video's Thursday Night Football and the Fitz and Wit podcast every single Tuesday. Andrew Whitworth and Ryan Fitzpatrick, a highly entertaining pod everyone should go get. I'm speaking to somebody who went from the state of Ohio to another spot and won a championship after not having much of a chance to win one in Ohio, with all due respect. And Myles Garrett appears to fit that bill right now, trying to find his Rams, trying to find his 2.0, his second team to try and win one. And it seems like the Browns are not interested at all in this scenario. What would you counsel Myles Garrett to do next, Andrew Whitworth?
I think really when you look at these situations, it makes me think a little bit of Carson Palmer as well. You know, you think of in 2011 when he really refused to come back to the Bengals and had said that he just didn't feel like they were ever going to put themselves in a position for him to really have a chance at a Super Bowl. And he refused to go back there. And I think that it's one of those things that if you're going to say that that's it and this is your plan for Miles, he's got to be willing to dig his feet in and just not show up. And an unfortunate, you know, situation there. I hate it when these kind of situations come up, because I think at the end of the day, like, you know, I think Tomlin always says it, you know, you never want prisoners, and so you want volunteers. And so I think that really, to me, you know, it's one of those where I think Cleveland's got to be honest with themselves, you know, and I wish this is how it worked, but, you know, what we've really provided him and really how things have gone here and decisions that have been made, I can understand an all-world football player saying, hey, man, I want the chance to go have success. And again, we have done things that continue to put us in a situation where we're not getting there. So you got to let him go, in my opinion. And what is that compensation? What does it look like? I just think when you do right by people and you're accountable and you say, hey, you know what? We can own up for our end of it. It ends up in a good thing for everybody. And so there's a chance here when you look at the Deshaun Watson situation and really where they're at contractually, unless you think you're a Super Bowl team, which I don't think anybody would say they are, why not use this as an opportunity of how else are we going to improve our roster? How else are we going to get out of the hole we've dug ourselves, but to acquire a lot of draft capital and move on? And so for Miles, I think it's digging your feet in and saying, you know what, if his heart really believes that he needs to go somewhere else and he's not going to be his best self every day showing up bitter in this building, then you know what, go forward with it. And for Cleveland, I think you got to really look at yourself and go, hey, maybe this is the only way we get out of the hole we've dug ourselves, is by trading him, getting some draft capital, and trying to flip this entire thing as fast as possible.
He is the only one on the team that you can get multiple ones for. That's for sure.
That's it. I mean, look at their contract situation with the cap and everything else and mm-hmm. what they've done with Deshaun's contract. I mean, this may be their only out. And so I know they're saying they don't want to do it, but how else are you going to get this roster back to where it should be? And I think people, honestly, I don't think people will be in arms about it, because I think they're going to understand, like, Myles Garrett's frustration, because I think every Cleveland Brown fan probably has the same exact frustration.
You're the man, Andrew. I love having you on, as always. You're one of my favorites, and I'm not just saying that because you're listening to me. And you're always truthful, which means my final question is, when you play Stafford, who gets the strokes? Who gets the candy? You versus Stafford and golf.
You know what? We're pretty – here's the crazy thing about Stafford. He is such a freak athlete. He just hops right out of football season, and mm-hmm. he's just a, you know, single-digit handicap. So we're both probably anywhere from like a 4-6 handicap. Mm. So we play pretty even most of the time. No strokes. You know, I usually send him a text like that kind of right before the playoffs start, like, hey, don't think you're going to walk out to Bel Air and I'm going to be handing you strokes. Like, just go ahead and lock it in and know that we're playing heads-up golf whenever this thing's over. So
okay.
We usually play heads-up. He's a really good player, that's for sure.
Is Al out there? There with you too, since you mentioned, you know, the country club.
We catch Al in the lunchroom, you know what I mean? You know, Al, he what? Plays a little longer round of golf than we do. Let's just put it that way.
Okay,
yeah, we, his rounds take a little bit longer than ours.
Is
so,
that right, okay, all right, I hear you.
I could probably get two trips around and catch Al on the back, the second 18. But no, listen, you know, Al's the man. So that's actually something I look forward to the most when I get back out there with Al. He's the best. I got to link him and Puka up. I mean, we've been waiting. The dinner's coming. Okay. We're going to do it soon. Two non-veggie eaters. You know, Puka's a no-veggie guy too. So I'm long-lost best friends.
Is that friends. Right? Puka's never
Yeah, long-lost best friends.
Okay.
They're both really jacked up about it. It's going to happen soon. I can't wait. It's going to be a great dinner. That's for sure.
Al Michaels and Puka Nacua. Who knew? That was the thing in common. Fantastic. You're the best, Andrew. We'll chat again soon, bud.
Appreciate it, brother.
You got it. Right back at you. That's Andrew Whitworth. Everybody check out his pod with Ryan Fitzpatrick every single Tuesday. That's awesome.
The aptly named Fitz and Wit.
Did I tell you, well, I was mentioning Bel Air Country Club. I'll tell this story again. I think I've told it before, but I'll tell it. So when Susie was out here working for Fox Sports and covering every championship team known to sun, known under the sun, USC football with Pete Carroll, Shaq and Kobe and Phil with the Lakers, Mike Socha and Darren Erstad and Troy Percival, Tim Salmon with the Angels, at any rate. So I would come out here and she knew a couple people at Bel Air and she got me on the course. Now, you know, I was eager to play. It's highly well known around these parts. And there's always a celebrity, I thought, that would always be there. And so I'm driving in there and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what celebrity I'm going to see today. Have I told the story before? I think I have, right?
Is this James Garner?
Yes, right.
Yes. So no, I've never heard this.
Okay, so I'm teeing off on the first hole and you on Bel Air Country Club and you see all of UCLA in front of you. It's raised tee box. You could see Westwood and it's incredible. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what celebrity am I going to see? And I balloon my first shot, my tee ball, to the right. And it lands on the 18th fairway. That's how far right it is, the 18th fairway coming up.
Let's say, it doesn't sound like a good shot.
It's not a good shot. It's not a good shot. But the last thing I'm going to do is like, oh, let me take a mulligan as I'm a guest here at the Bel Air Country Club. So I'm using this shot. And as soon as I'm standing over this tee ball, on the 18th fairway, coming up the 18th fairway in a golf cart, really fast, screeching to a halt in front of me, is James Garner.
Oh, yeah.
In a cart driven by Mac Davis. And here I am thinking, am I going to see a celebrity? And I'm seeing one on the first shot in the fairway of my time at Bel Air Country Club. And it's a James Garner with a golf ball between his thumb and forefinger. He just jams it in my face, like this far away. And he goes, is this your ball? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is Jim Rockford, like angry at me. And I'm like, I'm like, no. My ball's right here. I said, why? And he goes, because somebody's playing my effing ball. And they drive right off. Like a drive-by celebrity sighting. And I thought, this is the greatest thing ever.
I do feel him, though. That is annoying when someone picks up your ball.
He was so angry. And I'm like, am I going to see a celebrity? Yeah, you're going to see Jim Rockford in your face. Thank God I was playing my ball. Could you imagine if that was yours? James Garner's golf ball?
You had to have lied.
I would.
No, you would have to, knuckle up with James Garner on 18.
I couldn't because I'm standing over a golf ball that could have been his. I thought to myself, my God, what am I doing?
That would have been terrible. Yeah.
I would have to leave and never come back.
Yeah.
Maverick, bro.
Yeah. Take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, right here on the program. Full of stories. Not as great as Mold School, but other than that. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday coming up. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, our mission is to help members of the military, veterans, and their families achieve their financial goals. That's why we offer great savings and investing options like our certificates. Certificates come with sky-high rates, and some even have the flexibility to add money anytime during your term. Whether you're saving for a home, a new car, or your future, our options can help you get there. And certificates are just the beginning. Navy Federal also provides financial advisors to help you manage your investment portfolio, along with online tools to guide your savings plan. With our support, you'll have everything you need to take charge of your finances, so don't wait. The sooner you start building your financial future with Navy Federal's savings and investing options, the better off you could be in the long run. Sign up at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal, and may lose value. Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. When you're running the ball downhill, Debo, do you see people making business decisions? Is it something you're seeing as you're running downhill, Debo?
I mean, honestly, I really don't pay attention. I mean, if they move out the way, they move out the way. If they don't, you know, they just gonna feel it.
But you could see it though, right? Come on now. You could see the eyes maybe getting wide, and you could see them maybe getting down a little lower than, you know, they're trying to get some leverage here.
Most people kind of turn it down, but some people out there just make business decisions and just kind of throw their bodies just hoping I fall down too.
Well, I mean, that's not really happening. I'm not seeing that. Do you like the content? Do you enjoy it?
Of course. So growing up, I played mostly like running back until I kind of got to college, and then I transitioned to a wideout.
So what do you like to do if you're given a choice? Run it or catch it and run it? What's your favorite to do?
I'd rather catch it than run it.
Why is that?
Because if I catch it, I got way more space, you know. I mean, it's really not a preference, but I preferably like to to catch it and run.
Okay, and you got a good story about Shanahan showing you a play, and you're like, oh, okay, that's going to work. And then it does. You got one of those?
Sir, I do not remember any of them.
None of them? Because yeah, normally we've seen that, where he just says, this is going to work. We're going to get a touch. Didn't he do that with Kittle once? He says, this one's going to go to the house, and then it goes to the house.
Kyle, I mean, if you watch him, and like, he's all the way down. Like, if we on offense, he all the way down on the other side just watching. And you can see him sometimes talking to the referee.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now watch Kittle. This guy's about to hold. And 9 times out of 10, he holds, and then we get the flag. But a lot of plays that he calls, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Any play that Kyle calls can end up being a touchdown.
Ah, yes. Back in the day when Deebo Samuel was apparently wanting out of San Francisco. Then he stuck around, tortured the Rams a couple times, or three, or four. Now he's in Washington, back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It's time for one of our favorite segments of the week. The Overreaction Monday podcast is out there for everyone to listen to right now. Chris Brockman and I recorded it yesterday. Susie and Amy are recording What the Football later on with Diana Russini of The Athletic. She'll tell you what she knows. Nice. And she knows a lot. She knows a lot. Wednesday, what are you doing for what you got? What are you for no contest wrestling?
We are definitely going to recap everything that happened in this elimination chamber, including my girl Io winning the Women's World Championship last night on Monday Night Raw. Okay. So I can't wait.
Okay.
Talk about this.
And Thursday's a Jim Jackson show, scheduled to guest Spike Lee. Jim will be talking about Spike's time on Twitter, telling Chris Brockman to go F himself.
I believe the direct quote is that I'm an effing moron.
Okay. Well, I mean, he wasn't too far off, probably.
Spike and I have beef.
Words that I never thought would be said.
That beef was one-sided.
So that's what's on the Rich Eisen podcast network this week, is Brockman and Spike Lee's effing beef.
Yeah.
Okay. But right now it's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday on a Tuesday.
Christopher.
Everybody, what's up? Everybody good?
What up?
Jay Felly, hey. Turn your hat around. Come on, man.
Have some respect for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
Respect for the segment.
I refuse.
Jeez. You're cut. Guys, it's all about the quarterbacks, as we know, right? This time of year, post-combine.
Yeah. Always, every time of year.
Getting ready for the draft. It's all about the quarterbacks.
Sure.
Joe Milton would be QB1 in this draft, and teams should be calling the Patriots for him right now.
Just because he beat the Bills in the final week of the season. The Joe Milton game, as it will be known, sort of like the snow game, you know, forevermore.
Yeah, exactly the same.
You know what I mean? The Joe Milton game. Just because he's got you drafting fourth overall instead of much higher in a much better position.
Like first.
Yeah. you're just trying to get some sort of draft capital out of it.
Why wouldn't the Giants send a third for Joe Milton?
Because that's insane.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Joe Milton's not better than Cam Ward and Shador?
I don't know. I'm not one of these draft experts. I know you're trying to talk it up, but that's an overreaction, sir. He would definitely be interesting to have available to be drafted right now.
He's available for a draft pick if the price is right.
He beat the Bills backups. He beat the brakes off the Bills backups.
He threw the fastest ball in the NFL history.
Yeah, and that is worthy of a third round draft choice. I agree.
What a backhanded compliment, right?
Sure. What?
He beat the Bills backups.
No, excuse me. He beat the brakes off the Bills backups.
That's not the word that stands out. That's all I'm saying.
Somebody go get Joe.
His backups, not. I just think it's breaks.
Somebody go get this guy.
What else, Chris?
Flip us a draft.
Onward.
You see this T. Higgins.
That's your first offering?
I mean, okay. I wrote that like weeks ago.
Okay. I'm glad you finally got a chance to use it.
T. Higgins, as we know, is getting franchise tagged, but we don't know what that exactly means. And Diana Rossini, who will be on What the Football, I'm curious to see if she elaborates on this. Ja'Marr Chase and the Bengals are not close on their deal. Either Chase or Higgins will be on a new team week one.
No. Incorrect. They will both be on the Bengals because Ja'Marr Chase, if I'm not mistaken, is under contract for one more year. And if there's any team that will take it all the way to the limit, sounds good. What, both Myles Garrett and Ja'Marr Chase are going to be holdout package deals? Is that what you're saying? In the state of Ohio?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man. There's cash and cap and all sorts of stuff that I think Amy's going to explain. As you know, putting all these guaranteed dollars in the escrow bank might not be what the Bengals can do, but they're going to have to figure it out. Because if they're in the National Football League business with two huge stars like this, with a huge star at quarterback and an ability to win football games because of that, figure it out. Figure out the math. You can do that. You've got a calculator. Figure it out. And then figure out how to draft a lot of defense and maybe be selectively aggressive on the free agent defensive front and go win a Super Bowl because they have the chances. They just got to figure it out. And Ja'Marr Chase is not a free agent, Chris. T. Higgins is.
He doesn't have to show up week one.
Okay. I know he doesn't have to show up.
All right.
But
I still think T. Higgins is getting traded.
I think the Bengals are going to figure this thing out.
It's a lot of credit you're giving Mike Brown.
It's time.
I'm always open.
What else?
All right.
He's always open to a deal, I'm sure.
He wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback.
Let's figure it out.
If Sam Darnold comes back to the Vikings, he's going to spend all of this year looking over his shoulder. Won't match last year's success.
I think that is a total overreaction. You have no earthly idea what it would look like at all. And one would think it would even be better.
Better?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be?
Well, because they drafted a guy to have his job.
I got it.
And he's just sitting there waiting.
I understand.
And he's younger. He's probably better.
I get it. Look who you're talking to about J.J. McCarthy.
And he's cheaper.
Look who you are talking to.
Why do I have to talk this guy up for you?
You don't have to. I'm just saying that Sam Darnold right now, if he returns, and he would return with a multiple-year contract, he's not signing a one-year deal after not getting the franchise tag. If he does come back, he would have some form of a guarantee that he doesn't have to look over his shoulder, financial and verbal, from his coach.
Ask Kirk Cousins how that worked out.
I hear you. So if they do have to turn to the kid because he's totally, you know, stepped on his Darnold in the way that we saw what Kirk Cousins did over a four-week stretch.
Nice.
You know what I mean? So I'll call this a total overreaction that you're sitting here saying there's no chance that he's going to be better.
Why would he want to go back and have
because
all
the
of
coach
this going
is
on?
Amazing.
There's amazing
why.
Coaches all over the place.
Well, not one. They got You have a reigning coach of the year who is stupendous with quarterbacks. And if you sign for 2-3 years, make your scratch to the point where you feel pretty darn comfortable, like, say, a Baker Mayfield deal, and you can start winning again and again, then maybe when you're 29, you're free and you hit it even bigger. With a spot where you're now more and more comfortable to leave, and J.J. McCarthy, it's his time. Why not willingly put yourself in the position of being the Rodgers to this guy's Jordan Love?
Yeah, go to Vegas and end your career there.
You could, but, you know, is it as good as what you currently have? I don't know. That's what he's going to have to figure out over the next week or two, pal. But to basically come out with such a declarative statement like this, I reject it. Thoroughly.
What are we doing? I've seen the reports that
rejecting it thoroughly.
That the Steelers,
like Mutombo,
the Steelers might have a preference at quarterback.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields is going to keep the Tomlin streak alive, over 500 again this year.
Sure, I'll buy that. You know how I feel about Tomlin and Justin Fields. Hey, let me just say this about Justin Fields.
What's that?
He was 4-2.
Let me say this about Justin Fields. He has kept his mouth shut, has he not?
Haven't heard a peep.
In Chicago and in Pittsburgh, he hasn't said a single thing. And he has handled himself with the utmost of professionalism in that regard.
Yeah. Kind of impressive.
He has 1,000,000% taken all of this in his best of stride publicly as anybody possibly can. 4-2 and then benched. And then the other guy comes in and takes him to a 10-3 and then hardly wins a game the rest of the year. And he doesn't say a word. And now it's time for that team that benched him at 4-2 to say to him, we still want you here.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
Exactly. Great drop. Perfect. Yeah. And now he's in a position where he could be the week one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2025.
Seems likely.
Okay. Don't forget, Roman Wilson is there, and he had a whole washout of an injury-marred season. The top passing connection of the national champion Michigan Wolverines hardly played it down this past year for Minnesota and Pittsburgh. So I'll buy this. Okay. I'll say yay to that. Right. Not an overreaction.
Last week, we got so excited because it was reported that Belichick and UNC was going to do the offseason hard knocks. That's awesome.
Not anymore, huh?
Now today, no dice. So after fumbling this bag.
Fumbling the bag.
And other teams' reluctance, we are nearing the end of hard knocks.
I will say this is an overreaction. We are not nearing the end of hard knocks. How dare you?
This is not a shot or anything. It just seems like hard knocks has kind of run its course.
Well, what we need is... what we need is some incentive to lower the bar on the goaltending by these teams when the edits come out of the edit bay. We want to see stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, you know,
the Giants ruined it.
They didn't ruin it. You know what we need to, you know who needs to save it, if you will? Your idea wasn't a bad one.
I think
Howie Roseman.
I still think it's a great idea, but
to show just, how it's done.
Yeah, waiting for somebody to step forward. I'm not even talking about offseason. I'm worried that even the preseason is over.
You know, we always get Howie. I think it's right after the draft, right? That's the tradition, unlike any other.
Yep.
And so I will ask Howie about this. It'll be too late.
Too late for the offseason,
right?
Version.
But me saying to him, you know what his response would be? I'm like, you should do this to show how it's done. And he would basically say, I show how it's done by creating parades. That sounds like something Howie Roseman would say. But I'll just say we're not at the end of hard knocks because the league still wants it. And the league has...
The teams don't want it. The owners don't want it.
Too bad. It's going to happen again this fall. I mean, this summer. And it'll happen again in the fall. By the way, the in-season hard knocks was terrific.
Yeah, that was fun.
The AFC North was really
well done.
But they
had to make it a whole division because one team didn't want to do it.
Then that's what they'll do. What do you think? Belichick was going to save hard knocks? Bill Belichick?
I do think he was going to save hard knocks. Yeah, well, I do.
What else you got? You got one more over there?
Yeah, one more.
Okay. What do you got?
Do you think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
It is with great sadness, actually. Reluctance, TJ.
He's out of adjectives for whatever he's saying.
The Lakers are going to win the West.
Yeah. What did I say to you
last week, Chris? We did it What's More Likely on Friday, and it took like 3 days for them to be the 2 seed.
You know how that scene where Colonel Jessup was on the stand and, you know, Tom Cruise is going through it again. He's like, don't you remember? You say, you know, if orders aren't followed, you know, people lose lives. And like, do you remember that? And it's the crystal. Remember that? And
You want answers.
I want the truth.
Right.
Handle the truth.
I can go through the transcript of last week in the same way of like you said, you know, I said, you know, the Lakers might do it. And you go, do what? What's the it, Rich? And I said, win the West. And you're like, huh. Yeah. I said that last week.
Didn't take long.
It didn't take long.
Hey, imagine that. Hey, adding a top five player in the league.
What's more likely? You're I like, know. What's more likely? 40-yard dash record gets broken over the week? Or the Lakers wind up the 2 seed? And I said the 2 seed, and that happened by Sunday night.
Took 2 days.
Bud. Get ready.
He looks skinny in that. By the way, is that photoshopped? Look how skinny his arm looks.
It's not.
What happened?
Actually, what they could do is with a Photoshop of Fat Soto and Skinny Luca, you could create a whole new human.
Like the clones on
Luca Soto. You could create a whole new Luca Soto.
Yeah, we knew Soto wasn't fat, though.
I hate everything.
Guess what? It's coming. It's coming. Ugh. The Lakers will win the West. It's happening.
Over the Warriors?
Get ready.
In seven?
Maybe. Who knows? But it's the Lakers.
How do the Lakers beat the Nuggets?
How do they?
Mm-hmm.
The same way they just beat the brakes off of them 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
but in Denver, and the snapping a nine-game win streak for the Nuggets Jokic. At the time.
Who's stopping Jokic on that team?
You know,
whatever.
I don't know if he's got enough around
there
him.
There you
now.
Go.
I'm just throwing,
not like the Lakers do.
I'm just throwing this out there.
I might be a Lakers fan now. I'm running
go home now.
Absolutely
I'm running
not.
Point. Everybody, number people no, texting me no. about, hey, man, you're a Netflix comedy superstar. And I say, you're correct.
No.
All right.
You are over Netflix, so that's a fact.
Well, let's talk more about that when we come back.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to the A to Z Savings event at AutoZone.
Yeah, happy to be here. Can I get some rotors?
Would you like brake pads with that?
How much are the brake pads?
Free with the rotors.
Free? Really?
Really, free.
Okay, I also need some oil.
Would you like an oil filter with that?
Yeah, how much is that?
Free with 5 quarts of oil.
Free? Really?
Really, free. It's part of the A to Z Savings event.
You might as well call it A to Free.
At AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. This is a letter written in March of 1998 to Colts owner Jim Irsay, who at the time, a month away in the draft, the decision between you and Peyton Manning.
Right.
It's from Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh. Dear James.
Dear James, in response to your addled request for a quick $30 million loan to secure the services of the Manning kid, I have to say no at this time. But the Leaf boy is another matter. He looks strong and Manning doesn't, or at least not strong enough to handle that welcome to the NFL business for 2 years without a world-class offensive line. How are you fixed at left OT for the next few years, James? Think about it. You don't want a China doll back there when that freak sap comes crashing in.
Wow.
Okay, let me know if you need some money for Leaf. I expect to be very rich when this Depp movie comes out. Your faithful consultant, Hunter, and it's signed HST, with at the bottom scrawled in handwriting, CC John Walsh, ESPN, and CC Colonel Depp. How did you come into possession of this letter?
So I'm a Chicago Cubs fan, and they were in town last week, and I was sitting there behind the dugout, and a guy...
In L.A. Here in L.A.,
and a guy tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Are you Ryan? Are you Ryan Leaf?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Man, I'm just, you know, just such a fan of what you're doing now with the foundation and everything like that." And we talked for a little bit, and he's like, have you ever seen that the Hunter S. Thompson letter? And I'm like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Would you like to see it?" And I said, "Well, yeah, of course." I mean, I didn't believe it for a second, right? And there it came in the email, and I showed it to my fiance, who's a huge Hunter S. Thompson fan, and we read it, and I just, the absurdity of the fact that A, Hunter S. Thompson knew who I was, and B, that he was trying to persuade Mr. Irsay to draft me instead was just comical. And not to see it for 20 years, how does it, it's just nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
Right.
I called John Walsh of ESPN, and he says, because he's known Hunter and his family's known Hunter S. for years, he said his wife was like, "Why are they thinking it's not real?" And as a matter of fact, it's 1,000% real.
Wow.
Wow. And Hunter S. Thompson was a huge NFL fan. And obviously an opinion on the 1998 draft.
Well, I think now that we know that a lot of people had an opinion on the 1998 NFL draft.
This is amazing.
Isn't that amazing? I love that line, is that you don't want a China doll back there when that freak sap comes crashing in.
The irony of all this, right? The irony of this, he would go on and start the most consecutive games of anybody. And I would be injured going into year two and missed the entire season. So we're just reminding people.
Strong, underlined.
Yes, strong.
That was the first time Ryan Leaf ever appeared on the show, and he brought that letter with him. That was great. Now, I did reach out to John Walsh. He goes, that's Hunter's signature. Can confirm. It really is a letter.
That's crazy.
A freak sap.
China doll back there.
You know?
Sap was a freak.
Sliding door of what if Ryan goes first that year?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, as you know, the story that Jim Morrow Sr. would tell all the time, because we'd make him tell it over and over and over again, is that the Colts grinded tape on both of them all the way up to the draft day. You know, they had a sense that it was going to be Peyton, but they were, you know, doing their due diligence.
Got to.
Doing their due diligence, which everybody does. And then, you know, an unnamed quarterback coach will just start carping about somebody. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right it almost feels wrong. Now's the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again, but don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on right now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Play of the week comes from the Scouting Combine. You betcha. There are plays to be made there. Certainly when you are a 332-pound lineman from Missouri beating it on down the line the way that Armand Membu did when he stepped to the 40-yard dash line. Here's that moment as called by me.
That's a good start. That is athletic.
Look at him go.
4.91. You let out a primal scream when you do freaky stuff. That's what he did right there. That was fantastic.
And the fans here letting him hear it. That's Daniel Jeremiah and yours truly calling that moment. He, Membu, a 34-inch vertical leap and a 4.91 40 at 332 pounds. Will Campbell joined Membu and two others to have a 30-inch vertical leap, a sub-5.40, and 310 pounds or more in the history of the Scouting Combine. That's been done only by four people, Will Campbell and Armand Membu this year. The others, Tristan Wirfs and Trent Williams. Oh, wow. So there you go. Yeah, that was it. Nice.
How'd it work out for those other two?
Pretty darn well.
Why do linemen run 40s? I just don't understand it.
They have to. And that's your play of the week presented by Sleep Number. Sleep better together. Save 40% on the new Sleep Number Special Edition Smart Bed. Limited time exclusively at a Sleep Number store. And you heard the crowd applause? Right there.
I was telling you yesterday, that's what I loved about the crowd. Because every time one of the players ran their second 40 and they improved.
Yes.
There was always like the crowd got behind them.
I know. They
were
so nice. It was Indiana nice, you know?
It was pretty cool.
It was Indiana nice. Like, hey, you improved your time. You went potty. You know, like that's the way it went.
Well, Rich, you know, 1 second here or there for some of these kids, that's the difference between first, second, third round, right?
So,
you can tell their excitement over it.
Daniel Jeremiah, anytime somebody went from like a 4.5 to a 4, you know, a
4.4.
Well, no. Went from a 5 to a 4.99, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, a 4.4 to a 4.39. Yep. He would always say it looks better on the card, on the draft board that way.
Yeah.
In the same way that, you know, you charge for something like, say, mold remediation. You just take it down a cent. Yeah. It's kind of wild. We had a caller online on hold waiting to talk about mold remediation, and we did Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday instead, and the guy hung up because I guess he had some mold to remediate. I don't know. Guy from Michigan.
Maybe he's having a hard time breathing.
He wanted to talk to you about mold remediation. Of all the things that we've talked about today that I thought would engender a phone call, that was the last one.
I was worried. Might say I pronounced stuff wrong. Uh-oh.
But the crowd would always applaud whenever there was a 40 that was improved upon from the first to the second. I did enjoy that. And the crowd also really got on when Will Howard threw every single time. There was a loud cheer multiple times because there were tons of Ohio State fans there. And then Cynthia Freeland and Colleen Wolf would talk to the crowd during commercial breaks and stuff like that, and also sometimes in between drills. And they kind of said, like, you know, hey, there's a lot of Ohio State fans here, and some Michigan fans started booing. And it riled up the crowd. So every time Will Howard touched the ball, the cheers would be mixed with some boos. And, you know, I
that's funny.
But it was funny, but I was all this close, because sometimes I know that some fans could hear it. Oh. No, not at all. It kind of opposite. Like, it was one of the first times where the fans being in the building were...
A detriment almost?
Yes, because yeah. Will Howard is that... He's trying to work out and improve his lot professionally here. Let's leave that stuff at the water's edge while he's working out.
Yeah, boo him after, if you want.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they were booing him. They were booing the Ohio State fans from being happy. And trust me, that I can appreciate.
Of course.
Because the number of times during the broadcast I mentioned, you know, hey, it's glad that the Ohio State fans are here looking at Will Howard in this building, because he's never played here. Home of the Big Ten Championship.
See? Why?
So, you know, I would do that.
Of course.
But I wouldn't, while he's working out, go boo, and like audibly, while the guy's trying to rip one over the middle. All right. Hour number three coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show. I know I'm part of the problem. I get it.
He's Del Tufo chasing a squirrel.